Hello, pals o' mine. So I was hiking yesterday with a friend of mine, and she was showing me this photo of a tarantula that she saw along a trail at a recent hike. And it was one of those trails that cyclists and hikers share, and the cyclist had stopped and was squatted down. He wanted to make sure that nobody rode over it or stepped on it so it could cross the trail. There's got to be a joke in there somewhere. Why did the chicken cross the road? Why did the tarantula cross the trail? Anyway. So I'm looking at this hairy black thing, and two things immediately pop up. And you know how brains work? Well, actually, we don't. That's the point, I guess. But many of us, our thought processes leapfrog. You see something and it triggers a memory, or you hear something. So two things immediately popped up, like an old cash register. First one was, I was 3 or 4 years old, and was up visiting grandparents, and my dad and uncle had left to go on an errand. So they return with my dad walking in the living room first, and he immediately goes into this dramatic tale of spotting this gigantic tarantula. He said it was as big as a car. Well, you know, when you're three, you believe everything people say, because you have no point of reference. So my thought was, I never, ever want to see something that's as big as a car. It just scared the hell out of me. The second thing that popped up was, remember that toy, the Incredible Edibles Creepy Crawlers? I just had that image of those little spiders flapping around. It. Those didn't taste good, though, did they? They were technically edible, but of course, now thinking about it in hindsight, I guess, even though eating insects, I guess, is natural, you probably don't want to encourage children to eat them, since some of them probably are toxic, i.e. a tarantula. So Jesse Lauren, an avid gardener, was excited that the circus was coming to town, specifically Ringling Brothers, in case you're interested. Gardeners everywhere love the visiting circuses because they happily donate the poo from their animals. Well, Jesse is thinking elephants obviously have large poo piles, and so she could stockpile for months just from the elephants. Unfortunately, she learns that because of California's Clean Water Act, it's not allowed, because the poo could seep out of the compost box and creep into the aquifers. So California has determined that some animals can poo in the water and some can't. Yes to raccoons, deer, coyotes, Canadian geese, elk. No to cows, dogs, and elephants. So there you are. Love California. I love living in the state for the most part. But this is one of those cases where, I guess, if you're a gardener and you're looking to relocate, California may be on your maybe list. So you may have heard about this, but it cracks me up. I love this country, I have to say. It's so diverse and eclectic and eccentric. There's this hotel in Georgia, and it promotes itself as a romantic getaway for proposals, weddings, et cetera, et cetera. And so it offers this service of a fairy godmother who will cast a love spell, or, you know, wave her magic wand, help you create the best wedding environment for your wedding, what have you. And I was just trying to imagine what it must have been like for this woman to approach the hotel. Was it in a letter? Did she just cold call him, waving her little wand around? When she sent a letter, did she include a little fairy dust, or, you know, a little glitter or something? I'm just trying to imagine. It's like a SNL skit, really. She walks in and says, you know, I'd like to be your hotel's fairy godmother. And they were to be this long pause, crickets that span centuries, until finally, I'm sorry, what did you say? This is what really cracks me up, though, about the whole idea in general. It's like the cherry on top, if you will. The point at the top of the wand that sparkles the most. This woman, the fairy godmother, she has her own label. Not in a bottle of wine, but bourbon. Because, you know, it is Georgia, I guess. So you gotta love a fairy godmother that has her own brand of bourbon. Seriously. Oh, by the way, the name of the hotel, if you want to visit it, is the Barnsley Resort. So the book that I am currently reading and enjoying is The Pink Hotel by Anna Stothard. It says longlisted for the Orange Prize. And one of these reviews in the back really describes it the best. So I'll just quote it from you. It's from Davy Rothbart, author of My Heart is an Idiot. He writes, picture Carson McCullers mashed up with Tom Waits and David Lynch, and you get a sense of the unique, edgy novel you're holding in your hands. The Pink Hotel is mysterious, lyrical, and utterly absorbing, by turns funny and forlorn. And that's a pretty good description, Tom Waits and David Lynch. But just to give you an idea of some of her descriptions, her turn of phrase, if you will, she talks about the ecosystem of dust, which immediately puts your brain in another area. And I love this description. She says, she always looked older in the morning. Her skin, a landslide that righted itself slowly throughout the day. That's true. That's actually how it happens. And when she describes our bookend oceans, she says, if the Atlantic was a foaming, snapping Rottweiler, the Pacific was a sleepy gecko in the sunlight. That's pretty accurate, too. Anyway, so it's called The Pink Hotel, Anna Stothard, and it's basically this woman's, well, woman, technically a woman, she's 18. Her mother abandoned her and her father when she was 3, and her mother dies, is killed riding a motorcycle, and so she decides to go out and try to track down her mother's life and learning about her, hopefully learn about herself. So it is quirky, so it's not one of those maudlin, you know, self-discovery books. You know, don't let that discourage you. This really is an interesting book. One thing I've always wanted to do, and it's one of those, I hope I can learn it someday because it takes time, is learn how to sketch. You know, I need a one-on-one. I don't do well in classes. I get distracted because they're helping somebody else. I really need someone one-on-one. So as I'm drawing, or, you know, they can tell me what I'm doing wrong or continue to do that, whatever the case may be. So I really love this idea of the sketchbook project. It's this mobile, well, I like what they describe. They call it a taco truck, but with sketchbooks. So it's a traveling library of artist sketchbooks. So it's all over. It doesn't matter what your level of expertise, talent, skill is. They just welcome it. They call it a concert tour with sketchbooks. It's really fun. So how it works is you just fill up a blank sketchbook and you submit it to them. And there are fees because it is around a library in Brooklyn. So you can either just send it as is, the hard form, your basic, or you can submit it in a digital version. So while they're permanently housed in this library in Brooklyn, it travels around the country, goes on this tour. And so everybody has access to these random sketchbooks. It's absolutely fabulous. So again, so go online. It's called sketchbookproject.com. And again, it's every level of ability, it's every age, it doesn't matter. It's looking at images drawn from people's heart and soul. I mean, really, you're looking at people's energy, and I just love it. I just absolutely love it. It's like shaking someone's hand and making contact with them, having a conversation with them just by what comes out of their renderings, sketch rendering. So please get an opportunity to check that out, if you will. If you don't want to submit, that's fine. again, go online and it lists the tour. They're not only going around the United States, but Australia as well. So let everybody know if any teachers out there, they welcome groups and you get a discount if there's a group involved. So I think that's a fabulous thing for schools to get involved in. They could probably do a lot of events around that. The arts really, really need a boost. There's a Mark Twain quote that I really love. He said, "You can't depend on your eyes when your imagination is out of focus." So do something different this week. Use a grocery bag that supports a nonprofit instead of a store. Or, if you're really crafty, use a paper bag for a pattern to sew one from scratch. Or buy a blank one from a craft store and have it printed with a fun picture or saying.